Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
It's Bud Pod 220.
220. Spenny.
Spenny.
Well, that's a bit spenny. By which I mean Glastonbury tickets, Pierre. It's a festival I was just at. I was just at a Glastonbury festival. Wow. I hear the tickets are spenny. I don't spenny any on tickies.
No.
Because I go there as a performer. But I get to enjoy the festival as well.
You don't need to spenny any because you're fenny.
Fenny.
Funny.
Fenny. Yes.
Fenny.
Yes.
That's like a really sassy fenny. American. You're just a fenny.
It's a fenny. You're such a fenny finny. You're funny. I'm a funny fanny.
Yeah.
But it was good. I missed Fred again, which is annoying.
You missed Fred again.
As me. I missed Fred again. Again. I missed Fred again. He's an electronic musician.
Mm.
He's sort of coming up. And it's really my kind of music. I love that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like just little samples and like build ups to big sort of electronic drops and sort of wall of sound, Brian Eno stuff just washing over you. I love it.
Okay.
But I couldn't make it.
What kind of samples are we talking about? Because obviously there's like public service broadcasting, which is like sort of World War II 50s samples.
He does samples of things people either he knows or he's found. Like a lot of the samples are people sort of singing like a cappella in their bedrooms on their phones. Or
the
opening track of his lockdown album, which is very, very good. He samples a poet, a performance poet, and he just cuts up a couple of the lines and, you know, auto-tunes them and repeats them. And
oh, right.
Okay. I found you. I found you as a song. It's really, really good.
Yeah.
He's really good. And a very sweet middle-class boy in a very clean white T-shirt, as all electronic musicians are.
Yeah.
Middle-class white boys in white T-shirts. There's something about the private schooling system that makes you really good with the mixes and little bleep bloops and yeah. It probably means like you could afford electronic equipment as a teenager.
Yeah.
And you're a bit nerdy.
I think that's right. And I think that's why so many musicians even from the past were, if not private school in the UK, like grammar school, like pre-80s education, so grammar. So still with the aesthetic and levels of suppression and repression of a private school. So they had more to rebel against and opportunities.
Oh, yes. The Gen X people.
No, well, I mean like classic rock. I mean, people who were educated in the 50s and 60s. Because if you weren't at private school, the teacher still had fucking cloaks and hit you and screamed at you.
And beat your ass.
Yeah. Okay, so the question on everybody's lips and on everybody's hips was Chung Fu's Crystal Warehouse still at Glastonbury?
I was in the healing fields briefly, which is the hippie area. I did not actively seek out Chung Fu.
Yeah.
Partly because, and it's unlikely, but I was worried he'd read the book and would pelt blood crystals at me if I walked past his teepee. Although he's such a loopy hippie, he probably didn't remember me and probably doesn't. I don't think he reads books that come out on hardback. I don't feel like... I don't think he reads any book that isn't self-published.
Yeah. I think that he reads books that are either self-published or very old paperbacks on aliens and unicorns and spirits from the 70s that have that kind of almost brown paper now.
Yes, exactly.
And loose leaf binding from age, and you see them in like shops that sell skull-shaped bongs in parts of the southwest of England.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I did not see Chung Fu Or and so, which means I'm not up to date with what form Trung Fu has taken this year. I presume it is still an old Chinese man who looks like an old Chinese lady. But it could be any, Trung Fu could be anything.
Yeah, that's the part of the magic and the mystery. So, okay, in the absence of the Crystal Warehouse, what was the most hippie fucking thing you saw?
Oh, well, you'll hate this, Pierre. In the green futures bit, so there's a field called Green Futures, and it's about protecting the environment. Is about how we move towards a carbon neutral world and how we, you know, how we cut out plastics and all that sort of thing. And one of the tents, one of the areas, just had a big sign above it saying no to nuclear power.
No!
There's a lot of that shit, man. And I just thought, okay, so you don't want a green future then. I thought this was a green future field, not a living in La La Land field.
I didn't realize that I was in the NIMBY field. No wonder there are
not in my backfield.
Not in my backfield. No wonder there are no permanent structures in Glastonbury. You keep blocking planning permission.
Yeah, that was very annoying. It is, so the annoying thing about Glastonbury is, politically speaking, it is a lot of self-comforting, meaningless and sort of contentless proselytizing.
Yeah.
You know, this park stage is covered in crocheted and knitted signs that say things as boundary pushing, Pierre, as stop climate change.
Oh.
And save the planet, and there's no planet B, and buy less, make more.
Okay.
And all this sort of thing. And which is good, you know, until I saw a sign that said stop climate change, I thought, I think climate change is fine.
Well, it would never have occurred to me.
Seeing the sign kind of changed everything for me.
Well, it would never have occurred to me to stop it.
No. I was assumed if something bad was happening, you just let it happen.
Yeah, it was God's will.
Yeah. And so that is the annoying thing about Glastonbury. I'm sure at some point it would have... Well, I mean, that is the hippie tradition, really, is that, you know, you call for change and then sit in a field.
Yeah. The only green futures field that would have an impact, it would be if they literally were talking about trading in green futures, like stocks and shares and derivatives. Like, there's just a bunch of guys in pinstripe suits.
Just investing in pak choy.
Yeah, just a bunch of guys in pinstripe suits just going like, if you all form a kind of mutual fund, you can invest in this offshore tidal development. And already the hippies are just, fuck you, man, and they're just walking away.
Oh, man, I'd love to start the stock exchange field in Glastonbury. That'd be so fun.
Yeah.
But you know what the thing about hippies are, right? They're either sort of, hey, man, stop the war, man, and sitting around the field not doing anything. Or they are the sort of Silicon Valley business hippies who are incredibly cutthroat and extremely effective and end up very, very rich.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because they've invented a kind of yogurt brand or they've run some sort of hippie business.
Or they use sort of hippie ideology to create products. I mean, Apple, a lot of Apple's design and ethos is from Steve Jobs following, I can't remember which guru it is, but there was this Indian guru he was obsessed with, and he followed him to India, and it's all about sparseness, right? And honing in on the thing that matters and cleanliness and, you know, and sort of keeping sort of a cleansed soul. And that's, you know, Apple products are like that. They're very clean design. There's a lot of empty spaces. You can't even really, you know, you can't customize your desktop really. You can't really customize your phone backdrop really. You can put a picture on there, but it's not like a Windows where you can change the picture of every icon or whatever. It's all about simplicity, right? Mm. So, and that's very much the hippie ethos. And the whole self-realization, the whole power of the individual, that's all hippie-ish. That's what Silicon Valley's about, really. It's a libertarian ideology. And so that's the one, the side of the hippie.
Yeah, the people with blood boys.
And then the other side of the hippie is just sit around and do nothing. But they all kind of effectively believe in the same thing and dress the same, weirdly.
Yeah.
But end up with these completely opposite lives.
Well, that's it. And then in extreme cases, you get the green-brown.
Yeah.
You know, where which isn't just something that happens to you if you spend too long at a festival. toilet wise.
And you eat too much spinach.
Popping out Popeyes. It's that thing where someone becomes such a fan of, you know, the purity of the land that they start having a really strong view on who has the right to till the land.
Yes,
and everyone should stay where they're from and maintain separate cultures and live in the woods. Of the, and, you know, slowly you, things start to go a little dark.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this before, you know, people talking about even when in, you know, indigenous activism talks about we were here first, you know, this land is ours. And leftist progressives go, yes. You go, oh, okay, yes. No. There's some redressing of the balance does have to happen here. But I don't think that should be the central argument that you go down.
Because,
you know, I think if you're going to believe in an argument, it better be a universal argument. I'm pretty sure you don't want that argument being made in the UK by the Welsh.
Yeah, or just generally any of the terrifying men you can find on various high streets on sunny days with no top on. This land is ours. We were here first. Is much worse in that context.
Oh yeah. It's a real fest for poo lovers, of course. Mm. Pierre, as the people listening to this podcast. I was shitting and pissing into a green wheelie bin for a lot of it.
What?
Yeah, so I didn't realize until this year what they actually are. In the performer's backstage camping bit, we have a little stretch of toilets. And you go up, walk up these stairs, and you're in a little cubicle, and there's a toilet and a hole, and you can look down into a gradually building pile of... It's your favorite trilogy, urine, feces, and toilet paper.
Oh, wow.
Just building in this hole beneath you. And you can see everything. And you go in with a cup of sawdust and you throw the sawdust on top.
Oh, there's no blue. And it helps. No blue.
No blue. It's just sawdust.
Oh, no.
Hippies, man.
What's wrong?
Pour sawdust.
What's wrong with the blue? Everyone's.
But I like blue.
Everyone's favorite.
You have to bring your own blue, Pierre.
Oh, everyone's favorite blue liquid.
It's sawdust. The sawdust keeps the smell, it like keeps hold the smell down.
Bullshit. And makes it look...
No, it does actually work. It does work, and it covers it up visually.
Ugh.
But then I realized I came off the platform after a couple of poos, and I looked at what was actually underneath them, and it's just green wheelie bins that they wheel under these holes, and then they wheel out. And God, that's a job. That's a job to have.
Wheelie bin full of turds.
Some of the jobs in Glastonbury must make you. Wish you were like an animal or just like a bug instead of being a human in that moment. You know what I mean? You ever have those moments where you're like, I kind of wish I was just a bug right now.
If I was a bug, I'd be loving this. All these turds.
Yeah.
That's funny to wish.
Can you imagine that wheeling? I couldn't even bear to think what they do with the wheelie bins full of shit and piss and.
Do you think that. The guys whose job is to wheelbarrow away the wheelie bins full of celebrity logs look down on the Do you think they look down on the guys whose job is to carry all the normal people turds?
Right, yeah.
It's like, hey, you had a good day wheeling your normal turds around, you fucking loser.
Hey, nice peasant shit you got there. Yeah. Lana Del Rey crapped in mine.
Yeah,
so.
One of these is hers. Think about that. I do. A lot.
Do you think secretly Glastonbury's collecting all the poos of his headliners?
Yeah.
And splicing the DNA together to create them? Well, the history's most talented person. Do you think they might be doing that?
I think it's called the Pyramid Project. And I think over time
that's what's buried under the pyramid stage.
Yeah, a big biological engineering lab. And they're going to have this sort of Frankenstein-like, you know, the flair and longevity of Elton John, you know, all these different DNAs that they've collected in the poo wagon.
Yeah, yeah.
They must be doing it. Or do you think, oh, imagine, like, that's something that I could see a British journalist doing. Undercover, they become one of the celebrity wheelie bin full of shit people, and they take it away and they just swab it for drugs.
Oh yeah.
And then they could do a big expose on how the backstage celebrity toilets are filled with this drug or that drug in the sewage, and they don't know who's responsible for sure, but that they don't care. You know, that's an angle.
Yeah. A sting operation. Stink operation.
A stink operation to end all stink operations. What celebrity would you least like to follow up the stairs onto the green wheelie bin? Because if you look in the hole, presumably you can see this terrible mountain.
I think Jeremy Clarkson.
But, so, okay. Hold on a second.
I feel like he eats a lot of red meat. Mm. And not very much fiber.
But, think on this. There could be a celebrity who you really like and you don't want that mystique ruined.
Oh, I see. Never. Is that your main concern here?
Well, yeah.
Not about the quality of the poo that you leave behind, but what is going to do to my perception of it.
Yeah, like never meet your heroes. Never use the loo right after your heroes, because now then forever you can go, well, I know what that guy's or lady's shit smells like. And now that's in my head every time I encounter their work. I think, oh yeah, poo.
Have I told you I've used the loo after the Archbishop of Canterbury?
Ooh, I don't know if you did. Maybe you did.
I have. I was at...
He smashed it to pieces.
I was at a secret Illuminati dinner thing.
Oh, was this the museum one?
Maybe. And I went into the men's room, and coming out of the men's room as I walked in was the Archbishop of Canterbury in his finery, like wearing the uniform.
Oh man,
I felt like I was in a joke. I felt I was literally in a joke.
Yeah, that's definitely joke territory. I'd give it 5 minutes, my son, or whatever. It gives you some Bible.
It is easier to pass a camel through an eye of a needle than to follow what I just did. So I'd give it 10.
Oh man, yeah. So who
would I least like to whose legend would I least like to tarnish by following them into the toilet?
Yeah.
I think. Well, I saw Elton John. I think I like Elton John. I love some of his songs. I think I wouldn't really like to follow him into the toilet. I don't like the idea of him doing a, like. Can you imagine Elton John in like a sparkly suit, just sat on the toilet with his trousers around his ankles?
With a
it's
little,
quite an upsetting image.
With a little cigarette in the corner of his mouth, reading the paper.
Yeah.
You don't want to see him like that.
No,
that's a good one. I guess it is more disappointing in proportion to their finery.
Yeah.
So anyone with a lot of mystique and artifice, like Elton John or Lady Gaga or...
Lady Gaga, it kind of suits her persona, I'd say, to take a big old crap. Because she's... that's kind of her thing, right? Like, she's a bit... She's wild, she's out there, she's unapologetic, you know... She doesn't shy away from the dirty stuff.
What if you look down?
You know what? You know who I really wouldn't want to is follow one of the many BBC news readers that I fancy.
Oh,
I think that would ruin it a bit for me because they're sat down when I'm watching them as well, right?
Oh.
They're sat down doing their job, and so the imagery would sort of
you could
mix
picture
together, I think,
more easily. Do you think when they sit down, they say, this just in, and then...
and that just out. Flush.
Do you think they do little eruptions in between each, like, bong, bong, ah, just like it's all timed with the...
Breaking poos.
or just right before they unleash it. And now the weather, and then a big piss. It's a lot of fun they can have. Phil, have you got some sort of alarm?
Oh, can you hear that?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, shit, it's one of the house alarms.
Well, burglaries aside...
Well, they keep the alarms keep messing up on in this in my little muse, in my little corner.
Do you think if you followed the right person into the loo and just looked into the big wheelie bin, there would just be a big?
Is the alarm very annoying? I'm not sure if it's coming up on the microphone.
I can't tell. I could just hear it faintly. Whatever.
Okay.
If you look down, there was just a sort of a completely like glittery turd, like it had been rolled in glitter.
Yeah,
you'd want it to look different.
Yeah,
celebrity
like
turds.
Elton John's poo. I'd want to be covered in glitter.
Yeah,
and maybe with a pair of glasses on it, like cool fun glasses.
Yeah, exactly. Oh man, whereas. My life is not nearly as exciting as going to Glastonbury. Here's my problem, Phil. I keep losing my keys.
Yes. Yeah, so Pierre is going through a key crisis at the moment.
Yeah, I'm a key
This
loser.
Feels like very much a problem I have. This seems like my kind of forgetfulness.
Yeah.
But I will say, I don't lose anything. This is the thing. My saving grace is I'm quite forgetful. I have occasional executive dysfunction. But I've never lost a wallet, ever. I've never lost a watch. I've never lost a bank card. I've never lost anything important, ever. Ever. I don't lose anything. So I'm intrigued to know what's going on with you.
I used to be the biggest loser. I used to be, so lose a lot. When I was at school, I don't know where my homework is, don't know where my pen's gone. It was chaos. And it was only through great force of will that I managed to gradually reduce the amount of things lost and the frequency with which they were lost to basically nil.
Yeah.
And
impressive.
I've had a big sign up, you know, like a whiteboard in my flat, days since last pointless fucking thing has been lost. Or like, you know, whatever. And I've had to keep wiping that board and putting zero because something's happened to my brain in the last, maybe it's the heat or...
And it's specifically keys.
Well, yeah, because now it's shorts weather, Phil, and the keys can come out the shorts a lot more than a zipped jacket pocket.
As in they fall out the top.
They fall out the top.
This has been a problem. I've got some pretty shallow pockets, and I've resorted to putting my key into my wallet. I had to go back to a bar the other day because my key had just fallen out of my pocket onto the floor.
Do they have it?
Yeah, they had it.
Oh, the sweet relief of that moment.
Yeah, because I'm so constantly anxious, I'm always patting myself down. So I noticed, like, when I turned the corner from the bar, because I did my routine pat and it wasn't there.
Yeah, you're like a one-man...
So my anxiety does have some benefit.
You're like a one-man airport security.
Oh, yeah.
Constant patting.
Oh, yeah. When I get up to security at the airport, I go, no, don't worry about it, guys. I've already done myself.
I got this.
And they're like, yeah, cool. Good to see you, Phil. Come on through.
Yeah, you just do it in front of them while they sort of they lean back and gasp. Mary, get over here. Look at this guy. Go. You're like a...
The speed.
The grace.
The softness of touch.
You're like Dave Grohl standing in guest drummer. You're like... You go through airport security and you go, guys, you mind if I just step in and do a couple of guest pat downs? They go, oh, Phil, it would be a pleasure.
Watch and learn, everybody.
Yeah.
Dave Grohl made a surprise performance at Glastonbury, the Foo Fighters.
Yes, he was a surprise, but also didn't he do some guest drumming on other bands?
Over the weekend?
I think so, yeah.
Did he? Yeah.
What's weird is that I wasn't at Glastonbury, but because I'm getting the external news overall coverage, I know a couple more things about what happened than you do, even though you were there.
Oh, absolutely. You do end up in a little bubble there. I mean, it was very weird on Saturday, getting ready for my set in the cabaret tent. And when you go somewhere like Glastonbury Festival, you sort of feel like the world stops, but it doesn't. And I'm opening my phone and reading about fucking Prigozhin and Wagner Group.
Of course, fuck, you were
fucking rebelling against Russia and marching on Moscow. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm about to do 30 minutes in a warm tent to people who are mainly just trying to sleep off a hangover.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, there's a potential coup going on in Russia, this great historic event. Is it weird that I was partly relieved Prigozhin didn't do it because I would have got FOMO? Is that weird?
You get, I was that like, when Prigozhin's
like, fine, I'll just go to Belarus. I was like, oh, thank God, I didn't want to miss that.
You didn't want to miss the downfall of the Putin regime live. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, incredible. Incredible stuff.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so Prigozhin just sort of... Prigozhin, who's the head of the Wagner Group, who are this mercenary army that ostensibly fights for Russia in Ukraine, but are a lot unto themselves. He just went rogue, basically, right? He mutinied.
Well, what's weird is that 2 days before that, he just released a big video where he did something unforgivable in Russia, which was he told the truth.
Yes, he said what was actually going on.
Yeah, he said, no, the war's really dumb. It's nothing to do with denazifying. That's obvious. And also, the only reason we're doing it is not to help Russian speakers, but so that the oligarchs can loot all of the natural resources of not just the parts we already have, but the rest of it. Anyway, bye. Like, just the most insane suicidal video.
And what did he put that out on? Would Russians have been able to see that?
On Telegram, yeah, on various channels, social media, yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
And so Russians could see that.
Well, yeah, and also all the Wagner stuff is pro-regime up till that point, so the security services have never stopped it. It's a reliable channel, although he did do a lot of criticizing of the defense ministry, but never Putin himself. Whereas that video where he's saying all this stuff is a lie, he didn't specifically say Putin lied, but he was saying all the things Putin had said were lies indirectly. So it's as good as. Mm. And then he shot down seven fucking Russian aircraft. They're shooting down their own aircraft on the highway.
Yeah, incredible.
It's psychotic. And then march on Moscow, everything's coming to a head. How close will he get to nuclear facilities? And then just like, okay, bye. Just insane. Insane.
Very weird. I mean, in a way, it's just showing how easily he was able to drive into Moscow.
Oh, yeah. I mean, or even to get near it, and all the police and the Rosgvardia, the National Guard, just doing nothing or actively working with him. That's what was so fucked up about it, because Putin constantly does speeches about how if you betray Russia, it doesn't matter what we agree to officially, we're just going to find you and kill you, just like Skripal.
Yeah.
And then, so Prigozhin must know that he's fucked, or notionally fucked. And then Putin looks like an absolute weakling who has to negotiate with just this bald chef who's gone mad. You know? And
yeah,
so he looks really weak.
Hopefully it's the best of both worlds and they're both fucked.
Yeah.
Right? And this is how stuff with Russia always goes down anyway.
Yeah.
Is the two most powerful guys go, I want it all! And then they just shit the bed when it comes to actually getting it all. And then someone comes through the middle, right?
Yeah, it's someone was saying online, it's like Ceausescu's regime, hard but brittle. So very, very hard, but with enough cracks, it could just shatter much faster than people think. Really strange. Really, really strange. Yeah. For once.
So now Wagner are not fighting in Ukraine anymore.
Only the bits of Wagner that did what Putin said and signed contracts with the MOD instead. So that was part of what triggered all this, is that they were going to pass a law that said, or make some demand, that everyone, like Wagner, would just have to become part of the MOD.
Right.
Which would not have been nice for old Pre-Pre.
Prego.
Old Prego.
Because he just wants to go to Africa. He just wants them diamonds.
Yeah, he's old school like that. He wants to keep running.
He's like a fucking, he's like an actual pirate.
He is like a pirate. Cobalt mines and gold and diamonds and illegal regime contracts in Africa and a little bit in Syria.
It's so vintage to have a villain who literally just wants like actual booty.
It's the,
like not money, not cash, just like chests full of pearls and jewels and gems. And
yeah, and for him to look like that, you just go, yeah, that's it, that's right. You need to look like that, a kind of saggy, bald, terrifying skull guy who does insane rambling speeches and dresses in silly military ways. Yeah, it's perfect. And it is also basically everything that happened is also the plot to Call of Duty, Modern Warfare.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, Russian ultranationalists trying to mount a coup and take over Russia and make it go even crazier. That's Call of Duty. So it was really surreal watching it, just being like, oh, that video
I'm prepared for this, weirdly.
Yeah, I've played this level. I've seen this cutscene. I mean, they're also even releasing videos of them like facing the camera saying, you will never capture the green key that you need to unlock my, you know. Like when they give
you... Yeah, it's like it's videos from fucking Red Alert 2.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, yeah. Well done, player. You may have defeated my armies in the south, but we'll see how you cope with my new base. Underwater. Yeah, exactly. Just insane. Insane for that to be the reality that we live in. We're in a simulation territory.
Where do you think it goes from here? I mean, it's good for the Ukrainians, but it's not like... war changing or war ending just yet.
No, but it does seem like they've managed to advance a lot around Bakhmut and some of the other places to the south along that sort of Donetsk border. In some places, they're across the 2014 line.
As in, they've taken land off of what Russia got in 2014.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. So that's
into Crimea.
Yeah. And they haven't committed anywhere near all of their guys yet, so they're probably just waiting for the prime chance to go bleh and just...
Well, this is it. This is part of the reason why it's so easy for Prigozhin to roll into Moscow is all the armies in Ukraine, right?
Yeah, and if you have an army that everyone knows is comprised of just been let out of prison psychopaths who've spent the last year using flamethrowers in urban combat in Ukraine, the local drunk policeman is probably just like... no, like I'm obviously staying in bed. I'm not fucking going. Why would I try and pull over this guy in my little Nino car for what, $1 a month, you know, in rubles?
Yeah.
Fuck that. Yeah, no way. Yeah. Well, speaking of rogue lunatics, Phil, let's do some correspondence.
Yes. Roll into the Moscow of our ears with your mercenary correspondence.
Mount some sort of amusing coup in our minds.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ring, letters, emails, phone calls, correspondence.
I'm pulling nose hairs out of my nose.
I can see it. Looks like agony.
It's quite satisfying. It is quite painful, but when you get a couple, oh, it feels good. Do you do that thing where you just put a bit of wax on a stick up your nose and just rip it all out?
No, I trim them with my little trimmer.
Yeah.
I just go vut.
Yeah.
Vut vut.
Nice.
Like that.
I should get some of that.
Oh, man.
Give me that.
We've heard from Emma.
Emma, I don't blame her for wanting to write in. I don't blame her at all.
That's nice. The subject line of this email is, visiting my sister was a mistake. Which is good. Emma says, good morning, PNP.
Good morning.
Shall we start with the end?
Ah, ooh. Very good place to start.
Ooh. This is alternative storytelling.
Tell us what we have to look forward to.
Shall we start with the end? Myself and my daughter went to visit my sister. The evening prior, I drank a little too much wine. Okay.
Okay.
At the time, my sister lived near a really good play park.
Oh, I like to look at a play park. That's a really good
play
park.
Oh, they got the swings. They got the giant spring with a bee on top that you can ride. They got the circle twisty guy.
They got a covered slide with a shiny metal.
Yeah.
Slide. They got the crawly, climby rope grid.
Yeah.
They got the sand. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, that's a good looking play park.
So, at the time, my sister lived near a really good play park. My then young and recently toilet trained daughter wanted to park. So off we went to park.
Great.
At the park was a 4x4 car on springs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that sort of thing. Pretend you're driving a car.
Yeah. Well, so she says, my little daughter got in the car and then adults, like, they sort of hang on and bounce the car.
Mm-hmm.
Jiggling the thing on the big springs.
It's a very realistic simulation. That's what driving feels like.
It is, yeah. It's like bouncing backwards and forwards, like in a black and white cartoon, where that's how they're animated.
Oh, yeah, with the exhaust puffing out the back.
Yeah. Or, boop, boop. All of a sudden, my rear opened. I like that. Unusual phrasing. All of a sudden, my rear opened and closed with a bang.
No, I didn't fart. My rear just opened and closed with a bang. Right? Nothing embarrassing or gross about that.
All you need to know is that my rear is so muscular that when I open and close it, it sounds like a clap.
A little explosion.
A little lightning, thunder kind of thing. All of a sudden, my rear opened and closed with a bang, made all the worse by the fact that I was wearing pale blue jeans. Blue jeans.
Oh, no.
You just shat a pair of blue jeans. That's David Bowie's B-side.
Yeah. Blue jeans.
You just shat
and
a
now
pair
partly
of blue jeans.
Brown jeans. You better not hang around jeans. You should have picked darker trousers.
All of a sudden, my rear opened and closed with a bang. I had to excuse myself and waddle my way back to my sister's flat to, quote, use the toilet. Thankfully, my ample underwear contained the mess. Oh, no.
Got a nappy on.
Yeah, that's a funny sentence to say in the privacy.
My ample underwear contained the mess.
But also just to be in the privacy of someone else's loo and say, well, thank God for my ample underwear. I got cleaned up and discarded my shitty knickers in the apartment block's communal bins. I was on my way back to rejoin my toilet-competent child, and all was well again. Alas, not quite.
Oh, dear. Mm. What has happened?
This was to haunt me.
Did the car on springs crash?
Yeah.
Which involved in an accident?
You got pulled over by a police car on springs.
Do you know how fast you were bouncing back there? Yeah, you were boinging pretty quick back there.
Yeah, yeah.
Your left, can you get out, please?
Your left spring is out. The apartments had experienced some fly tipping around the communal bin area, which were now covered by CCTV.
Oh!
So later day, my image was added to the apartment complex fly tipping WhatsApp group as a potential suspect.
Oh, no!
And there would have been flies on what you were tipping.
Nice.
Yeah, poo. Needless to say, I never visited my sister again. Seems
wow.
Dramatic.
Yeah. Oh, right. I guess because of the community is out there to burn the one they want to burn her at the stake. Pierre.
Yeah, the neighborhood watch know that she's the knicker shitter. I've recently been on holiday to Turkey. The particular hotel we stayed in is not available to book in the UK. Strange.
Oh.
To cut a long story short, we arrived at a hotel we had booked and it was a building site.
Is this for the same email?
Yeah. We were taken... This is another story, I think.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Which was very nice and we were the only British guests. The hotel's dining room was in four sections. the theme of each being a season, and plastered an ugly art and tat quote, see attached.
Right.
So there's... So
the place is still... It's a building site. It's not finished. This hotel.
No, they got taken away. So they she's saying that they went to a hotel and it was a building site. So they just went, well, guess you'll stay in some other place then.
Right.
I don't know about the relevance of that other than that it's moderately scandalous.
Yes.
So there's like a summer, winter, autumn, spring dining section.
Okay, in this restaurant. Dining room, yeah. Yeah.
So here is some of the tat. Let me have a look.
Oh, great. Turkish tat.
Turkish tat. It's like normal tat, but it's brewed on hot sand.
Brewed on hot sand?
Like Turkish coffee.
Is that how they do it?
Yeah, it's boiling hot sand. They've superheated some sand, and then they put the little thing in some sand.
Wow, how do they do that?
I don't know. It's just a big oven or something.
Gosh.
Yeah, it's really cool. And the coffee is thick like soup.
Imagine getting home. Oh, I'll put the sand on, would you love?
I awoke on Saturday from the delicious smell of roasting sand.
Hey, buddy, wake up and smell the sand, okay? She doesn't like you.
Don't even talk to me till I've superheated my sand. Okay, so...
Oh, man, I'm 90% superheated sand right now. Oh, boy, Wednesdays, huh?
Pass the sand. This tat, Phil, it is a beverage tat.
Okay.
It's not great grammatically.
Okay.
It is a picture of a glass with a straw in it, and then a sort of a pineapple and some other fruit in a kind of scrabbly clip art way.
In the glass?
No, just sort of next to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got the image.
So the tat says, "Drink the what like a glass of what." So don't expect proper grammar. This is kind of gibberish.
Drink the day like a glass of juice.
Juice is correct. That's correct. It's not day. Okay. It's longer than a day.
Summer.
Even longer than that.
Year. Drink the life.
Drink the life.
Is it?
Yeah.
Drink the life like a glass of juice.
Yeah, drink the life like a glass of juice.
I think that isn't that an old vampire motto?
Summer vampire.
Yeah, drink the life like a glass of juice.
Drink the life like a glass of juice. Yeah, that's right. That's from Dracula's. Because he's eternal, so he goes through a lot of phases. Given that he never dies.
Yes.
And he did go through a bit of a self-help phase.
Yes, his emo phase was long.
Whoa. Yeah, that's true. He was pretty down there for a while.
But now he's very much a self-help kind of... Only you can make the most of your afterlife.
Yeah. I've pulled myself up.
Eternal life doesn't have to feel eternal.
Sorry, I pulled myself up by my cape straps. Drink the life like a glass of juice. That's good advice. Okay, so this is another piece of drink tat. If this is blank.
I'm just thinking of one more vampire.
One more Dracula thing.
Slow one more Dracula.
Die, laugh, love.
Die, laugh, love. Maybe, how about Dracula counts? Instead of Count Dracula?
That's good. That's good. Dracula counts.
Yeah. I deserve to be around because Dracula counts. Always remember, Dracula counts.
At my lowest, I didn't even enjoy the sweet music of the creatures of the night. So this is some more drinks tat.
Okay.
It's quite confusing tat.
Okay.
If this is blank, please bring me some blank. But if this is blank, please bring me some blank.
Wow. Is there an image to go with this?
Yes, but the image kind of gives it away.
Okay. If this is blank, please bring me some blank. But if this is blank, please bring me some blank.
Yeah, it's quite confusing.
If this is water, please bring me some beer. If this is wine, please bring me some ice.
That's good. That's much better than this. I will. Okay, here's a clue.
Okay.
There are four missing nouns.
Yeah.
There's only two words. Like, two of them are the same. That's what's so confusing about it.
Oh, wow. Very confusing. Is it to do with alcohol?
No.
Okay. If this is... If this is coffee, please bring... Is it?
Yeah.
If this is coffee, please bring me some... toilet paper. But if this is...
Toilet paper.
Please bring me some coffee. Yeah.
That actually makes more sense than what this is. I'll give you...
If this is coffee, please bring me some work. If this is work, please bring me some coffee.
No, it's both drinks. That's what doesn't make any sense about it.
Gosh, okay. If this is coffee, please bring me some juice.
It's...
Water.
It's tea.
Tea? I almost said tea, but that makes no sense at all.
No, if this is coffee, please bring me some tea. But if this is tea, please bring me some coffee. Right, so you're just being a dick.
You're just being indecisive.
Yeah, you're just being a dickhead.
You're just being difficult.
I have no idea what that could mean.
I mean, sometimes I'm indecisive as to whether I want a tea or a coffee. But if you were to give me a coffee in that instance, I go, well, I guess I'm having coffee then.
If you're admitting to my face that whatever I've brought you, you want the other thing by virtue of what I've brought you, then you're just cunting me off.
Yeah.
And you're admitting it.
And I know not to do this again. I'm not gonna get your hot drink anymore.
No, fuck you. Fuck you, Dracula.
Fuck you. And...
The last bit of tat is—it's unguessable. It's just a massive mural of the words, of some words from. As Emma explains, in the summer dining area, they quote the Mark Twain poem "Warm Summer Sun," which the designers obviously took literally. Perhaps not realizing that it's about death. It's the holiday. It's all about the holiday vibes, guys. Koji, Emma. So this is the. Warm summer sun shine kindly here. Warm southern wind blow softly here. Green sod above, lie light, good night, dear heart, good night, good night. So green sod above means that you're in your grave.
Green sod.
Sod is like turf.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
wow, that's funny.
That's
and the hotel designers putting that. Ah, sunny daylight.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all about how the sun is nice. And it's nice to say goodnight, you know, in the summer.
Well, what is this, tea? Give me a coffee.
Maybe it's Dracula again. Green sword above. Goodnight, goodnight.
Yeah, it is good for him.
Well, I think we've solved who runs this hotel, Emma.
It's Vlad the Impaler, a.k.a. our good friend Count Dracula.
Yeah, if this is coffee, bring me some blood. If this is blood, bring me some coffee.
May he reign eternal, and may you reign eternal, listener, because that is the end of this episode.
Yes.
Thank you so much for listening. We are now off to the exclusive Patreon Vampire Castle.
Yes.
If you're a patron, we'll see you there. If not, we'll see you otherwise.
Yeah, have a good week, guys. And if you're a patron, see you in the Vampire Castle.
Much love. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.